Okay, so this time it's 6 days later. Seems like in the last few weeks we've had a couple passages where starts off with it was later. Like 2 weeks ago was the next day. Do you wonder what happened 6 days later or what was happening? Or no? I'm going to tell you anyway, so you might as well nod and say, oh yeah,
yeah. Oh, yeah.
Did you wonder what was happening the 6 days later?
Yeah.
Oh, there, thank you. All right, here's what happened. Jesus had some run-ins with the Pharisees, no surprise there, that happened. A whole bunch of people were fed. When all they started off with was a little bread and fish. Jesus and Peter, just for a little tiny bit, walked on water. Jesus made a rude comment to a woman and then healed her daughter. You're going to look that one up, aren't you? Peter called Jesus Messiah. Jesus called Peter Satan. It's not a fair exchange. And it wasn't an exchange, it was a different time. And Jesus warned the disciples that there were tough times ahead. And then, with three of them, those disciples, up on the mountain, some strange things happened. One of those strange things is that Jesus' face and his clothes glowed. His face shone like the sun, and his clothes became dazzling white. Anyone ever experienced face glowing? Maybe not in the dramatic up on the mountain, and all of a sudden you're Jesus and your face glows, but have you ever had more common glowing instances? Can you think of instances where you see people's faces glow? Where? Name one. Come on. When they're sunburned, okay, that's kind of a negative way, but yeah, they're glowing. What else? When they're in love, brides. That's a real similar thing, at least I hope, right? Yes. You're just glowing. When you're pregnant, usually doesn't happen to men, except in that one movie with Arnold Schwarzenegger, and I don't think he was glowing, he was just mad. And in Billy Crystal, Rabbit Test, too, if you go back a little further. What else? About a parent watching their student at graduation. Yes, Mark?
Right after my mother's death, she glowed.
Right after your mother's death, she glowed. You kind of like, that was a real Holy Spirit moment, wasn't it? Right there. Sad that you're like, oh. Wow. Parents look on their face when they see their new baby for the first time. Anybody experience that one? And then 18 years later, you're like, or the glow of a parent or a teacher who sees their student accomplish something that they worked on for a long time. A student who didn't get it for a long time and all of a sudden they get it. Those of you who have been educators see that, I'm sure. I think that when you see somebody glowing, it's not something that's frightening though. You know, you see somebody glowing or you glow, it's not a bad thing unless it's a sunburn or you're taking niacin or it's hot flashes. I mean, there's times where you can see glowing as a negative thing, but in general, it's not scary, it's not negative. It's sort of wonderful, it's sort of awe-inspiring. So I wonder, what kind of glow does a person have when they've experienced Jesus' unconditional love, God's extravagant welcome here or somewhere? I wonder if that one's harder to see. If somebody comes in through the doors here, or they're visiting another church, or they're in a community and they're welcomed, do they glow? And is it because they're nervous because 12 people just invited them to lunch and they're like, that's a little too much? What if a person's face really was physically shining and there was some manifestation going on and it was like, you're really glowing, like you just like were a glow-in-the-dark frisbee, and you stood under a lamp for a while, and then you turned off the lights, or you put on any kind of glowing makeup at Halloween, or something like that. You know, you're really, really glowing. If you saw somebody glowing, and it was like this physical thing, do you think that you would be startled, or maybe freak out a little bit? Like, hey, Gloria, your face looks like it has a light bulb in it. What's going on? Are you going alien or something on me? Did you just get taken up in a spaceship, or have you been hanging around the nuclear waste sites? You're really glowing. I think maybe you should see a doctor about that. I think I want to move a little further away from here. That might be how it happened if you saw somebody physically glowing. Now, what if though you knew that the person who was glowing was physically in God's presence? And that even in the Bible, that just doesn't happen too often. There's the Adam and Eve story. There's Moses and up on the mountain and he glows. And there's Jesus here and there's Miriam. But there really isn't a whole lot of instances of people glowing, being physically in God's presence. But if you knew that you were in God's presence and either you glowed or you saw somebody glowing, would you fall on your face like the disciples did? Would you be overcome with fear? Because Peter, James, and John, they got to see Jesus' face glow, being physically in the presence of God's glory, and they had no idea what to do. Peter offered to set up tents. In one of the Gospels, when they talk about this, it's like, he didn't know what he was talking about. He was just overcome with, I see a glowing guy and two dead guys. Did I mention that? Did you see that? And Moses and Elijah were there too? So Peter was overcome. He's like, I don't know. I can get you a good deal on some tents. Maybe it was that. It's possible that Peter was just showing hospitality. Like, here's some shelters for you. It's also possible that in our reading today it said dwellings, and that is the equivalent of tents. And tent and tabernacle are the same word that's used here. And tabernacle is a place where you would worship. The temple would be a tabernacle. And before the temple was built, the big temple, out of stone and out of wood and everything, it was tents. And so maybe Peter was saying, here's Moses, here's Elijah, here's Jesus. These are three really, really holy people. I'm going to give them places to worship. He could have thought that, but the gospel writers in the other gospels don't think that. They think he was out of his head. He just didn't know what he was talking about. Let's get some tents. Peter had, maybe he thought he was hallucinating, too. I mean, if you see a guy glowing and then two dead guys with him, first of all, a person glowing could be unnerving, unless it's not like this physical manifestation of God's glory right there. And then, can you imagine? Think of two really important people in your life. You see them. They died 300 years ago, or 1,000 years ago, or 2,000 years ago, and they're standing right there, and you know who they are. Do you think you might be a little bit out of your head with fear, with anxiety? Peter saw something he didn't get. It was dazzling. It was something he didn't know how to respond to. But whether he did it right or not, or whether he really knew what he was doing, there is something Peter did. Peter offered this hospitality to those three. Even though his mind wasn't working quite right, I think, it's like, all right, at least a place to stay, a shelter. If it was worship, that was hospitality. If it was shelter, that was hospitality. If he was just, the first thing that came into his mind was, let's set up tents, that was hospitality today. Let me say today that everyone looks positively radiant.
No.
It must be because today you had the joy of coming to church. No? Yeah? How many of you woke up this morning and say, I get to go to church today?
Yay!
There you go. I did that. But after I went, oh, it's early. No one has had any negative thoughts today about anything, right? We can't put our hands up for that one. I've had negative thoughts today. No one's reacting to any medicine, right, today. So all the glow that I see out here, it has to do with got up and was excited, no negative thoughts, and no medical help. Anything less than God's presence is it's not really glowing. So everyone here is glowing because of that. Jesus glowed. And it must have been a marvelous, a frightening sight. Not like us glowing. It's marvelous, but not frightening. From that point on in the Bible story, Jesus, it says that Jesus was changed, prepared as he got closer to the time of his crucifixion and his resurrection. And I don't know exactly what it means that Jesus was changed. But after this mountaintop experience, the cross was not too far off. I don't think that when we experience glowing, today glowing, or other times glowing, in the different situations that we've come up with, that we're getting ready to go to the cross, or that crucifixion is not far off. But today, this is the last Sunday before we enter the season of Lent, where we prepare to celebrate Jesus' crucifixion and Jesus' resurrection. And in all the seasons, not just Lent, in Lent, but all the seasons, we're living our lives following the one who has been crucified and who has been resurrected. So how can you make sense of all this glowing stuff? Jesus glowed. Maybe we glow when we graduate, or when we're pregnant, or when something really good happens, or when we experience something just beyond anything that we could explain. I think, though, that we experience at least glowing that we can understand with pride or accomplishment or happiness and things like that. But that glowing fades. Just like the glowing that you see when your kid is born, and then 18 years later, in my case 17 or 15 or 10 years later, you're like, what? The glowing fades. The glowing of graduation fades. The joy that we have fades. You ever notice that? I mean, we don't stay happy forever. If you're really happy now, chances are at the end of the Super Bowl, you won't be, right? At least last year, for sure. At the beginning of the Super Bowl, you were so happy. Ooh, 3 minutes in, and then most of the rest of the game. Boy, that glowing really fades.
Phil was sure glowing at graduation yesterday, but today he snapped back to his normal grumpy self.
The mountaintop experiences and the spiritual and emotional highs that we experience, they're not everlasting. The joy and maybe the adrenaline rush, they fade, sometimes very quickly. But I think that the point of this passage today, or at least one of several points that's in there, the one that I'm going with, is God's glory never fades. See, in our relationship with Jesus Christ, our encounter with God's glory, it's not dependent on our emotional state. We can have great times. We can raise our hands in prayer and in song, and we can walk out of here and say, that was so great today, and we can be glowing because things have gone so well, and we can go into the rest of the week ready and raring to go, and then stuff fades. But God's glory doesn't fade. It's not dependent on how good we feel. God doesn't love us less because we don't feel as good as we did. God doesn't appreciate us more because we feel so good. When our hands are raised in prayer and song, God loves that just as much as when our hands are folded in prayer or in song. We are not the ones who are glorious, because it's God that's glorious. And we can bask in that light of God's glory. We don't have to be afraid that the light will fade. God's light doesn't fade with our mood. God's light doesn't fade with our emotions of any kind. God's light doesn't fade if our car doesn't start. God's light doesn't fade if we're at work and someone makes a really rude comment to us. God's light doesn't fade if we're giving something up for Lent and then we forget and we eat it or do it anyway. The light that comes from God shines no matter what. And God's light might not even look like glowing, or might not even be a joyous mood, or might not be anything like that. We don't have to be excessively happy. God's light is what it is. God's light is good. I don't know what shape that takes 24/7 in our lives. Sometimes we feel really good, but God's light is consistent. It's always there. So tomorrow, it's Monday. I hope that people who see any one of us will notice that God's light is shining somehow. Not because we're better than anybody else or doing anything, but somehow they see God's light is shining. Let's just trust that God can take care of the how part, and we just follow and do what God wants us to do. And then the next day, it may be really difficult for us to let God's light shine. We might be having a wonderful time on Fat Tuesday, and we might also feel like arguing with someone who we feel politically disconnected from because we're voting differently in the election. So tomorrow, when you go, not Tuesday, Tuesday, when you go to vote, pay attention to how God's light shines. If you're voting in the Republican primary, show kindness to everyone around, including the Democrats and the Independents. We can do that. If you're voting in the Democratic Party, show kindness to everyone around, Republicans and Democrats and Independents too. We can do that. Maybe that little bit of kindness, at a time when people get to declare how different they are, will plant a seed of love in someone's heart. So tomorrow, let God's light shine. The next day, let God's light shine. I know God's light can shine no matter what we do, but why not be a part of it instead of someone who tries to hinder it? Then in a few weeks, in a different situation, with a different mood, or maybe even a different person, maybe the same person, someone who saw us before, or someone new, but they'll see us again, or they'll see us for the first time, and they'll notice something that they have seen before in someone else, or in us, or they won't quite be able to put their finger on it, but then, as they experience God's light, God's glorious presence, they may even say aloud, we may even say aloud, we may look at this whole situation and how God's light shines in whatever situation, and we just might have to say it out loud. We might have to,
I'm going to say it. What do you think I'm going to say? Anyone have a guess?
No.
You don't? I haven't trained the congregation yet to know what the last word of the sermon is.
Amen.
No? Well, I mean, that comes after the last word, kind of. They might say, that's... They're very good. Who read the bulletin? When they experience God's light again, when we experience God's light, when anyone experiences God's light, maybe we'll be moved to say that.
Yes.
Now let's pray. God, thank you for filling us with your Spirit. Help us to be a part of sharing your light with the world. Help us to be part of the love, the welcome, the compassion, the mercy that you share. Thank you for your light. Thank you for your glow. Thank you for your love. In Jesus' name, amen.